Would you open your Bible, please, to the Book of Psalms? This coming next week will, I believe, be emphasizing worship, and I thought it was appropriate to remind ourselves that singing is a part of worship, and when we gather together to do what we call worship, it involves and encompasses a number of things. And so, if we could, think a little bit tonight, focus a little bit on what Christians do, what believers do when we worship in song. And so, I'd like for us to look at this hymn book. God has placed a hymn book right in the middle of our Bible, just in case somebody can't get a hymn book published or doesn't have access to a hymn book. God has placed one right in the middle of our Bible, and it's called the Book of Psalms. And it was the musical material that flooded the ministry and the worship of Old Testament believers. And there are some things here about music and about singing that I'd like for us to think about and focus on a little bit tonight. First of all, if you look at Psalm 7 and verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Father, bless these moments and minutes. May they be productive, profitable. May they not only minister grace to every hearer, but may they encourage us to lift a song of praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I attempted to show Jerry combed that out. I was supposed to raise the thing, and I knew there was a You put a hymn book under the, that's what it is, under the front. Thank you. And it's still not very, very dark, but it sort of says what I had in my mind this morning about the all of coming to God with all, and it speaks of the way that we are supposed to worship when we come to the Lord. If we come half-hearted, we are not going to please Him. Not only are we not going to please Him, but we are not going to truly, truly worship. If you look at the words there, I want to talk a little bit about the lyrics of choruses. This is not "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." This is not one of the great hymns of the faith. And there are some who say, you know, I don't like choruses. And we need to think before we immediately jump into making a decision about that, to make an informed decision and to think about how we feel about that. And we're going to see some of these things, I hope, as we look at the psalm book and the psalm tonight. The words of this little chorus go like this. Christ, Thou art all, Thou art my all in all. Thou art my everything, my Savior and my King. I at Thy feet to fall, for Thou art Lord of all. I'll praise and worship Thee for all eternity. Thou art my all. Calvary. There are several reasons I did that. Number one, to prove to us all that you don't have to be able to sing in order to sing. That's a great lie. Satan wants to keep you from singing by telling you can't sing. Let's let the professionals sing. Let's let those that are skilled with beautiful voices sing. Let's let those that love to sing sing. I can't sing. So that's the first myth I'd like to dispel tonight. Satan doesn't want us to sing. Satan will do everything possible to keep us from singing. And so he'll tell you, well, you really can't sing. You don't have a good voice. And I want you to immediately dismiss that, because God wants you to sing. Whether you think you have the vocal cords, whether you think you have the technical skill or not, God doesn't hear that. God doesn't listen to that. God fine-tunes the heart, and he loves to hear us sing. And singing is a part of worship. The other thing, we're going to look at some of these things again, and I hope to emphasize that you have a little object lesson here as well as we go through. Worship, the word worship means bow down. That's what it means. The wise men came and they found the Lord Jesus in the manger. He didn't look like a king, but there was something of a measure of faith in their hearts that made them see that this was an amazing act of God. I don't know what was in their mind, but what I do know is what the Bible tells me. And the Bible says they bowed down and worshiped. See, worship is bowing down. And when we come to the place where we don't bow down physically, we need to bow down in our hearts. How do you do that? One of the ways that we do that is when we sing. One of the ways we do that is when we sing. If you think about it, what does the world think when they see the church singing? They're kind of amused. They're kind of amused. That we all gather together, we open up these books, we open up these hymn books, we look at music, and we all sing. And they think one thing, we think another thing. One of the things that we are doing when we sing is we're bowing down in our heart to give praise and glory to God. The other thing is we are together joining as one. And Satan doesn't want us to sing because it's praising to God. The second reason Satan doesn't want us to sing is it makes us unified. If in the whole other time we're unified, we don't think about things the same way. You like chocolate, he likes vanilla. You like sprinkles, he likes nuts. We're not on the same page. But when we sing, we're together. Satan hates that. And there are some people who even come to church and never open a hymn book. Imagine if they don't want to praise God, they don't want to be together, they want to be a spectator instead of join in to worship. As we said this morning at the breaking of bread, no one would come to pay tribute and taxes to Caesar and not have anything. They'd be in trouble. And so we bring something. We bring something. And now the women in a Bible-believing New Testament church are not the preachers. Sorry about that. That's because the Bible says so. They're not the preachers. But they can worship in multitude of ways. And one of the ways that women worship and join in worship, aside from prayer, etc., is through singing. And a woman can immediately join in to praise and glory to God, and God can single out that one voice and hear that one heart. Satan doesn't want you to sing. Satan doesn't want us to sing together. Satan doesn't want us to sing off the same page. Satan doesn't want us to sing the same key. And he'll do whatever he can to keep that from happening. To sing praises to God. Let's look at some of the aspects of worship from the hymn book itself in the Bible. I want to look at the why, the how, the where, the what, and the when of worship in song. First of all, if you look at Psalm 13 and Psalm 13. First thing we want to look at is the why of worship. Psalm 13 and verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord. Here's the why. Because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Just in case you're grasping for straws, just in case you need some reason why to sing, God placed them here in the Bible. One of the reasons why I sing, one of the reasons why we sing, is because God has dealt bountifully with us. And if we just think about that, and if you would start to calculate all the bounty of the beneficence of God, it's enough to make you sing. And the psalmist says it so clearly. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. By the way, again and again, as we look at this hymn book and see the why, the when, the where, the what, etc., I will sing unto the Lord. Somebody says, Ingemar, you know, don't quit your day job. I understand what you mean. I don't have a real great voice. But I have a song in my heart. And I have to express to God that he has dealt bountifully with me. And the psalmist points out that we're singing not for one another, we're singing to the Lord. Unto the Lord. And the Lord is pleased for some strange reason. When we sing, it recognizes, it reflects back to him. We are reflectors. Everything that God made was made for his what? Glory. Now glory is just another word for, luminescence, or another word for light, etc. And I don't want to get scientific and go down over a rabbit trail here, but everything we see is a different reflection of light. That's why everything looks different. The molecules reflect the light differently, and the energy, and all that. We have some scientists here, they can explain that to us. But there's a glory in everything that's different. Everything was made for God's glory. Can we agree on that? The rock, the flower. What's that flower doing in the forest there? Nobody's there to pick it. No one's there to smell it. No one's there to enjoy it. It was made for God's glory. And there, rising up out of the earth, it pleases God. It was made for his pleasure. And so everything reflects back to God, his glory. Whether it's the sun or the moon or the stars, each have its own glory. Everything was made to reflect back to God his glory. Well, one of the ways that we, as human beings with a will, reflect back to God his glory is by an act of the will, by worshiping. And when we worship, we're reflecting back to God his glory. Not about us, about him. John the Baptist was well aware of that. He said, I'm not the light, I'm just the witness of the light. Just like the moon doesn't has a source of light itself, it merely reflects back the light that hits its surface, and it looks beautiful as it's there in the sky in its fullness. And everything was made to reflect back the light of God. How do we do that in worship? Well, one of the ways we do it is when we sing. And we don't sing for one another. We sing for the Lord and as unto the Lord and for the Lord's glory. And God has dealt bountifully with me. Why do I sing? Because God has been so good to me. Chapter 20 and verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving of the strength of his right hand. Verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners, and the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. The idea there is, in verse 5, we're rejoicing in salvation. This is a psalm book. This is a hymn book. And as all these hymns rise up, why? Because of God's beneficence, because of God's bounty, because of God's salvation. It's an automatic impulse. We want to praise God for what he has done for us. Chapter 27. By the way, if you're not saved, I can understand you think singing is silly. If you're not saved, you would probably think singing is silly. I'm sure the fellows down at the firehouse, if they all get together, they all sit around and sing, you know, Kumbaya, they would think that is silly. You go into the locker room of the NFL, and all of a sudden these guys sitting around start singing, you say, that's outrageous. It's absurd. Until you realize what God has done for us. His bounty, his beneficence, his goodness, his salvation. You can't help but sing because God has been so very good to us. Chapter 27 and verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He has caused us to triumph over the enemy. Do you remember when you were living in under the tyranny of Satan and living in darkness? Do you remember what it was like? Well, maybe some of you don't. I do. And that's the reason I want to sing all the more. The more you were saved from, the more you want to sing. There's Paul and Silas sitting in the prison. Their backs are bleeding. And they begin to sing. Wow. All of God's beneficence, all of God's bounty, their great salvation, being delivered from the worst enemy. Oh, the Roman jailer was nothing compared to the chains that Saul knew in unbelief and being a sinner. He said, oh, I did it all in ignorance. What a fool I was. When he realized that Jesus Christ is not dead, Jesus Christ is alive. My head lifted up above mine enemies. Psalm 57 and verse 7. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. See, when somebody's not singing, their heart needs to be fixed. Simple as that. Remember the coal miners going into the coal mine, and they carried with them in a little cage a little singing bird. And the bird stopped singing. It's time to get nervous. That was like this early warning system. The little bird stopped singing. Watch it, fellas. Might be some poison gases around here. Let's get out of here. Then they look, and there's a little bird upside down with the little feet sticking up in the air. The first thing is it stopped singing. And so it is with a church. Before a church ever died, it stopped singing. But as long as it's singing, there's hope. As long as it's singing, there is life. My heart is fixed, said David. Why? I'm singing. Remember when David was filled with joy and he was dancing in the street before the ark of the Lord? Michael or Michal, however you would pronounce your name. She looked out of the lattice and she saw David and she, the Bible says, despised him in her heart. The reason she did that was, spiritually her heart was not fixed on God, number one. Number two, she didn't recognize spiritual spontaneity. His heart was so thrilled with what God had done. The ark was coming back that he was dancing and leaping for joy. But this was spontaneity. This was just the leaping of the heart. This was just a celebration of the spirit. Now you could try to box that. You could try to capture that. You could try to orchestrate that. You could try to frame that, and you can't do it. That was just the excitement of his heart. And she looked at him and despised him and mocked him. And you remember what he said? Anybody? said, I did it
before the Lord.
You see, we don't sing, I don't sing for the crowd. You don't sing for the crowd. We sing for the, it's for the Lord, so you don't have to have a great voice. And a healthy church is always a singing church. And Satan hates it. And so there'll always be a few people that'll snicker or smirk just like Michal, and despise David. Why? Because he's sort of making a fool out of himself. You think you can sing? No, I don't think I can sing. I wouldn't qualify for the choir. I don't come up to that caliber. But I have a song in my heart, and I can't stop from singing. And the early church sang because their heart was fixed. And if for some reason you're not singing anymore, all I can say is bring your heart to God. We talk about that and sing about it, the breaking bread, all the time. Come thou fount of every blessing. Take my heart and tune it to thy, sing thy, thy grace. Why do we sing? 47, Psalm 47 and verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Our King. When we come and worship, we remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our King. One of the problems, I think, with the church in America is, I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but Jesus Christ is just a little less than Lord. Just a little less than Lord. You see, if he is truly our King, then we'll sing. And we have a King, King Jesus. Something to sing about. You have to wait for the next election and see what happens in Washington. We ought to be so happy because Christ is our King. Whatever happens in foreign fields or in governments, we sing because God is our King. Chapter 71 and verse 23. We're just thinking a little bit tonight about why we sing. What are you singing about? Why? Well, Christ is my King. Remember, Pilate asked, art thou a king? And we all sing back, yes, he's our King. Psalm 71 in verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Not sure that the forces of darkness don't like to hear that wafting through the rafters of a local Bible-believing chapel. But God is pleased. They came from captivity singing about redemption. Why sing? Because we're redeemed. He has purchased us. Psalm 89 and verse 1. Reasons why. Why we should sing. This is a little different. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Well, we could talk about that. There are all kinds of sermons. We hear about that, the mercies of God. But look at it. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You see, when this generation sings about redemption, about our King, about our salvation, about God's beneficence, about God's bounty, the generation following hear it. To make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And I believe that there are times when it's appropriate for young people to be together. And if they're if they're running around the bases and sliding into home plate or something we just can't do like we used to. And there's certain things that they can do. And when I was a child, I did things as a child. It is a time. But then there's a time when the young people really need to be here to hear us sing about God's greatness. Whether it's the great hymns of the faith or whether it's the choruses, simple choruses about Him being all. Why? Because He's supposed to be all. He's not supposed to be just a little less than Lord. He's supposed to be Lord. And are we able to say, this is just one example, as we hold ourselves up to the lyrics, we challenge ourselves. Christ, Thou art Lord. Thou art my all in all. Thou art my everything, my Savior, and my King. I at Thy feet do fall, for Thou art Lord of all. I'll praise and worship Thee for all eternity. Thou art my all, Thou art my all in all done on Calvary. Isn't it? It's all done already. He did it all. All done on Calvary. Now the last line, that's the hardest. Now I give all to Thee. Whoa. I think I'll drop out right there before we sing that line. That's just an example. We need to live up to the lyrics. Am I able to say, I'll give all to Thee? Because that little boy, a little girl might tug on your sleeve and say, wait a minute, what about this and what about that? And you go, whoa. To hold us to the standard of the lyrics that we sing about. You said He's King. You said He's Lord. And there's a lot of great truth and doctrine in a lot of the songs that we sing. Not just the Psalms, but in our blue hymn book, in our black hymn book. We say, am I living up to the lyrics? What a challenge it is to be reminded. To make known Thy faithfulness unto all generations. Why do we sing? So that we can pass on to the... You see, from generation to generation, we need to pass along the faith. Now, it has to be personal. The disciples needed to personally have this encounter with Christ. Thomas needed to see for himself. And then Christ said, more blessed are those that just believe me, my word. They don't have to see me. But either way, everybody has to do it personally. And when we pass along this great heritage of and body of truth from one generation to another, one of the ways we do it is being consistent in worship and in praise. Psalm 92 and verse 1. Why do we sing? One of the reasons we sing is because it's good for us. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name. Well, there's lots of things in this world that are not good for you. But here's one thing that is good for you. It is good to sing. You say, but I can't sing. Anybody with Christ in their heart can sing. Because Christ is the song. Oh, no, they're not going to sign you up for the Metropolitan Opera. Forget that. Get that out of your head. But that's not what it's about. It's really not about people coming and congratulating us because we sound like Caruso or somebody. When we've really done it right, people don't even see us. They see the King. They see the Lord. They see the Creator. They see the Savior. When we do it right. When we don't do it just right, then they see us. And so we supposed to sing because it's good for us. It's good for you. Well, let's move along. Why? I hope that's just a few. And the Bible, the Psalms are filled with other reasons why if you want to look for the why. But what about the how? Take a look at chapter 47. The how. 47 and verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. how do we sing? Well, we know why we sing, but now how do we sing? Well, one of the answers to that is with understanding. We need to come with our heart, but we also need to come with our mind. This is not a Tibetan chant or a Buddhist humming session. This is coming with our understanding. We come with our minds, and so involved in the ministry of singing, there's the meaning and there's the message. Now remember, Jesus Christ is the Word. The thought of God expressed so that we can know who God is. Intelligence. Paul said the same thing about praying. He said some people, they pray and they don't even know what they prayed, speaking about tongues. He said, I'd rather pray just a few words with my understanding than many words without understanding. And so we come with understanding, we come with our mind, we come with intelligence. And so, what do the words say? What do they mean? And so there are some songs that might not say a whole lot. If that's a chorus, it doesn't say a whole lot. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark. That says a lot, yes. I agree. Great doctrine there. But some of the choruses, they might not say a lot, but they should say something. Thou art my all. Thou art my all in all. Well, that's scriptural. It's found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse somewhere. Colossians 2, I think it's LD knows it, 7 or 11, that all the treasures are hidden in him. Everything that's worth anything is in Jesus Christ. And so, okay, is that scriptural? Okay, then we'll, but if we start to sing something that's not scriptural, then somebody needs to say, excuse me, what are we singing? What are we singing? Now, I want to be fair, and I want to be unkind, but I want to be frank, and I want to be engaging. I've heard some songs and I've wondered, what is this about? A person could be singing about somebody coming out of a saloon. I'm listening, do I hear anything about Jesus? Do I hear anything about, and I've heard that in churches. It just sounds like a cabaret kind of a song. Okay, I'm listening for the lyrics. It's now, who's the lover? It doesn't ever say who the lover is. You know, today it could be God, tomorrow it could be somebody else. What about the lyrics? What is it saying? And so we need to come with our understanding. Psalm 81 and verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Singing should be joyful. Not a funeral dirge. Nobody died. God is alive. Jesus Christ arose on the third day. Joyful. And sing aloud. Now in the high church, and I don't mean to pick on Lutherans, but one thing about going into a Lutheran service, even though they're famous for their choirs, and famous for their music, and famous for their organs, when you're in a congregation, you don't sing loud. Everybody will stop and look at you. So you sort of have the brakes on. You're dignified. And never say amen. If they say amen, somebody might actually ask you to leave. You know, it's all dignified. But according to the Bible, we're supposed to sing aloud and sing joyfully. It pleases God that we do. Psalm 101 and verse, we're talking about the how. Psalm 101 and verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Mercy and judgment. Good singing, good music is balanced. Mercy and judgment, there's a balance. Learning about Bible teaching, gotta be balanced. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And if it all goes one way, it's kind of distorted. And every cult is built around some truth carried to an exaggeration. The Bible is balanced. And singing should be balanced as well. And there's a spiritual harmony, I believe, in the doctrine and the understanding. There also should be a balance in the music itself. A balance. Not too much, not too little, just balance. And by the way, that's the goal of God in every one of our lives, that we be balanced. Do you know what you are if you're not balanced? You're an unbalanced person. That's right. And Satan will try to get you to be unbalanced, either to go off on some strange doctrine somewhere, or to emphasize something to the point where you become a little weird. No, we're supposed to be balanced. And so mercy and judgment. And so we see both there, and we should see it all in our lyrics as well. Psalm 105 and verse 2. Sing unto him. Sing psalms. Well, we're told to sing psalms. Now, we don't do that a whole lot here, and maybe that's unfortunate. There used to be a group that just sang the psalms solely, because they said the Bible says sing psalms. And there you have that unbalance again. The Bible, and they point to the verse, they always have their, every group has their proof text. And so look at that, they sing psalms, and thinking that that's the only thing. But if you go to the New Testament, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you have to balance it. Turn with me to Psalm 25. Most of us know this. We don't sing this too much here. We used to sing this all the time. I used to sing it. That used to be the echo. We used to sing it back and forth. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now, how many of you know that? Quite a few. We don't sing that for some reason. And the Bible's filled with these, where we could just be singing God's word and singing back to God and bringing him praises. And we're told, sing the psalms. And it is one of the hows of singing. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. How do we sing? We sing with thanksgiving. You know, a person could sing and not be singing with thanksgiving. A person could sing and sing not with praise. Could sing not without joy. Could sing without volume. How we sing is important. So important that God has given us certain guidelines, even in the book of Psalms, and how to sing with thanksgiving. Where are we to sing? Psalm 108. Psalm 108 and verse 3. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Wow. Let's just only sing in church. Well, not really. We're supposed to sing praises to God before the nations. Oh, they might hear me and I might be embarrassed. Well, good. But Paul was singing in the prison and the Philippian jailer heard him and he was amazed that this person was singing even though he was bleeding. Sing among the nations. Psalm 137. And verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If you read the whole thing there, they were sort of taunting them, saying, "Ah, look at you now, you're a prisoner, you're taken away, let's hear you sing some of your songs now." And the idea was, well, yeah, how can we? Well, we can because we still have the Lord, we still have our King, we still have His beneficence, we still have His salvation, that's the idea. We can sing even though they were mocking. Don't let anybody take your song away. Keep singing. Even when somebody says, ah, let's hear you sing now, sing all the louder. God is so good. God is so good to me. Psalm 149 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. If you can't sing here, you can't sing anywhere. You can't. That's why on occasion we give a public invitation. And I like to say to people, if you can't take a stand for God in this place, where people love God, you're not going to be able to take a stand out there. So why not just start right here, taking a stand for God? Can't be a better place to begin. Because if you don't take a stand for him here, you're certainly not going to take a stand from out there. So that's a good place to start. Same thing with singing. If you don't sing here, you're not going to sing out there. And so we sing among the congregation. That's the way God would have us to sing. Psalm 149 and verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing loud upon their beds. I didn't say what kind of bed. Could it be a bed of affliction? Have you ever seen somebody in the hospital, yet they still have a song? Oh no, they're not singing in the top of their lungs, but you could, once again, it's an attitude of the heart to have a song. If somebody goes around singing very loudly, you might need a pill or a straitjacket or something. That's not what it's saying. It's have a song in your heart. And sometimes we just catch ourselves, we're humming. And we're sort of singing a tune. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even though it's rough and it's hard and you have a flat tire and you're pumping, you just sing to the pumping. Blessed be the name, blessed be... What are you so happy about? Oh, God's so good. God is so good. And it brings pleasure to God. Where do we sing? We sing among the nations, among the strangers in a strange land, and among the congregation of the saints, upon our beds, even if they're a bed of affliction or the bed of death. The what? Well, we don't have time, but Psalm 20 and verse 13, we will sing and praise thy power. Psalm 20 and verse 13. What do we sing about? If you look at the hymns in the hymn book, so what are they singing about? Some are just singing about the power of God. The mighty power of God. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made, I see the stars and hear the rolling thunder. Wow, thinking about the power of God. What are you singing about? The power of God. And the Psalms, it gives you the topics of what they were singing about in the Psalm. Psalm 30 verse 4, giving thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. What do we sing about in the assembly? Sometimes it's about God's holiness. Isn't that wonderful? In this sin-cursed world, we're able to sing about the holiness of God. We have something to sing about. Fantastic. Psalm 51 and verse 14. Sing of thy righteousness. Wow. Psalm 57 verses 7 through 11. Singing of God's mercy and truth. Psalm 66 and verse 5. Singing about the works of God. Just think about that. Boy, that'll smell up a hymn book right there. Just the works of God. Psalm 67 and verse 4, thou wilt judge the people righteously. If you look at it, you're singing about the fact that God will judge the people righteously. Isn't it good to know that God's going to judge righteously? Things are not fair in this world. Things are not right in this world. But we can still sing why. Because God's going to judge righteously. It's going to be all right. Take a look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. One of the things that we sing about quite often in the assembly, Psalm 68 and verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heaven by his name. Unpronounced, and rejoice before him.
the name of God. How many hymns are in our hymn book about the name? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. The wonderful name of Jesus.